This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
And I didn't know that in terms of what I'm reading today, a couple of quotes by Dr. Charles Lowry. He's a Christian psychologist who writes about marriage. And one quote, the first one has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with the message. The second one does. But he said, opposites attract, but after marriage, opposites attack. Interesting. You want to hear that again? Okay, opposites attract, but after marriage, opposites attack. Most of the time, we are attracted to people who don't have the things that we have. Incompatibility is why we get married in the first place, but it's also used as a reason to divorce. Incompatibility is just a lack of communication. If we try to love someone the way we want to be loved, we're in trouble. Unless you communicate, it's difficult to know how to love another person. Unless you communicate, it's difficult to know how to love another person. Now, what I do want to say from Charles Lowry that is connected to the message is this. Most men want to be close to a woman who leaves them alone. Now, think about that for a minute. Most men want to be real close to a woman who leaves them alone. Would you believe I had one husband after another tell me after the first two services, yes, that's true. He's dead on. Of course, I didn't tell their wives that their husband said that, but that's probably the truth in a lot of marriages, that most men want to be close to a woman who leaves them alone. I look at everything from a sermonic point of view. So when I heard that, I thought, that's what we do with the Lord. It's what you do. It's what I've done, and I do. We want to be close to a God who leaves us alone. We want a God who's there when we need Him. We want a God in an emergency, in a crisis, but we want to do our own thing, and we want to plan out our own life, and we want to direct our own destiny, and we want to plan our agenda and our schedule of things for life, and yet we tell God we want to be left alone. How do I know that? Well, it's part of what we study today. This is a passage that we're going to read today that I need to set up first. This is the second to the last message from a book called Jeremiah. We finish it next week. But Jerusalem has been destroyed. Chapter 39, I won't read it. It's pretty graphic about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. The walls have been knocked down. People have been assassinated, murdered by the thousands. And Babylon has burned the city, just like God said was going to happen. And there's a remnant that's left over who go to Jeremiah and say, Jeremiah, we're not sure what we should do. We want you to pray to God and ask Him, should we stay in Jerusalem or in the area, or should we go to Egypt where maybe we'll be safer? And Jeremiah, this is interesting, Jeremiah prays for 10 days. God doesn't give him an answer right away. He prays for 10 days. You've never really prayed until you've had to wait. You know, you don't go to the Lord at noon and say, you got till 2:30 to give me an answer. 2:45 at the outside. God doesn't operate that way. And so Jeremiah prayed for 10 days, and then the Lord said, tell the people they need to stay. I'll protect them. But if they go to Egypt, everything they fear will follow them to Egypt. Everything they're afraid of here will follow them, which is intriguing. Have you ever said, you know, if we would just move to another house, if we just move to another city, if we move to another state, everything would be peachy sweet, just be great. And you find out your problems follow you where you go, and you still don't get along with your in-laws, and you still don't get along with him or her, and you still don't get along with this person. And so often we think the answer is just to go to another place, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not the answer.
Well, we'll continue this second to the last message from the book of Jeremiah tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. It's one word. crosshope.org. God bless you, and tune in tomorrow.
You find out your problems follow you where you go, and you still don't get along with your in-laws, and you still don't get along with him or her, and you still don't get along with this person. And so often we think the answer is just to go to another place, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not the answer. Sometimes it's not the answer to all our problems, because the problems follow us. Now, here's the most dramatic thing. God tells Jeremiah, tell the people not to go. And Jeremiah is told by the people, we'll do whatever God tells you. But you got to be careful when you say that. I'll do whatever the Lord tells me. And then they disobey the Lord. It's a dramatic story. And they do just the opposite of what the Lord told them. We're just going to read a few verses, chapter 42 today, of Jeremiah. Then all the army officers, including Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, well, these names are great, I'll tell you, and all the people from the least to the greatest approached Jeremiah the prophet and said to him, please hear our petition and pray to the Lord your God for this entire remnant. For as you now see, though we were once many, now we're only a few are left. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do. I have heard you, replied Jeremiah the prophet. I will certainly pray to the Lord your God as you have requested. I will tell you everything the Lord says and will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us. If we do not act in accordance with everything the Lord your God sends you to tell us, and this is an incredible verse, verse 6. Whether it is favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, so that it will go well with us, for we will obey the Lord our God. 10 days later, they get the answer, and they say, we're not staying. We're going to Egypt, where we'll be safer. I'm going to talk about all those things this morning. I want to talk to you about verse 3, first of all, if we could bring that up. I really find this intriguing. It's just a basic comment on life, your life and my life. Verse 3 says, pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do. Have you ever thought about how much we pray comes out of that verse? What is it we pray for? Lord, where should we go? What choices should we make? And Lord, tell us what to do. Don't pray that prayer if you're not willing to abide by the answer. Don't pray that prayer if you're not willing to abide by the answer, but so much of life is simply asking the Lord where we should go and what we should do. And I want to take that a step further. It's also, you may have never thought about this before, but sometimes things happen in your life in response to the prayers of other people for you. I don't want to get too mystical and otherworldly here, but sometimes things happen in your life, good things, because somebody else has prayed on your behalf. You had a mom or dad who prayed for you in ways that you'll never know about until eternity. You had a husband or wife who prayed for you in a way in tears on your behalf, and you'll never know about it. You had a parent, you had a son or daughter who prayed for you in ways, and things are happening in your life in response to their prayers. You know what that was a reminder to me? Things happened in my life because of somebody else's prayer. Who's praying for you? And who are the people that you're praying for? A son or daughter, a parent, a brother or sister, and maybe God is waiting for you to pray on their behalf, to intercede, to stand in the gap, as I like to say it, where you stand in the gap for somebody else and you intercede on their behalf.
We'll continue this message from Jeremiah 42 tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org.
Let's bring up verse 6. Whether it is favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you so that it will go well with us. For we will obey the Lord our God. We will obey the Lord our God. I want you to write down two things in your notes. I don't think this will come up on the screen. The purpose of prayer is seeking the will of God, not just to conform my will. Let me say that again. The purpose of prayer is seeking the will of God, not just to conform my will. And secondly, it's better not to ask God's guidance if you have no intention of following it. It's better not to ask God's guidance if you have no intention of following. Let me talk about them. I don't know how many years I was in the ministry before I finally realize something. I'm slow, and I really mean that. I'm not saying that kind of in a false humility. It takes me a while to catch on to people. But it took me probably 10 years of talking to people, counseling people, where it finally, I woke up one day and I said, you know, Annie, These people aren't coming in to see what I think they should do. They just want me to confirm what they've already decided to do. They've already made up their minds. They're going to leave the man. They're going to leave the woman. They're going to do this or do that, and they're going to run off with so-and-so. They just were looking for some confirmation from me, and it took me about 10 years of talking to people before I realized that most of the people, not everybody, but most of the people I talked to had no intention of following my advice. They just wanted somebody to sign off on what they decided to do. Now, my point is this. It's okay to do that to a minister. It's okay to do that to a brother-in-law or sister-in-law. It's okay to do that with your grandparent. It's okay to do that with a coworker at work. But don't do it with the Lord. Don't do it with the Lord God Almighty, who set this universe into space, and he set the planets and everything in perfect gravitational orbit. And then you and I have the gall to say, hey, I'll do whatever you tell me, unless it's what I've already decided I don't want to do. And that's what God's people were doing in chapter 42. I'm going to read a verse to you that's going to make some people mad, because it made me a little mad when I read about it. It's from chapter 43, the next chapter, verse 7. After God told them what they should do to stay, but let's bring up 43:7. So they, the people, entered Egypt in disobedience to the Lord and went as far as Tapanhes. So they entered Egypt in disobedience to the Lord. Here's the question I want to ask you. What have you done in the last year that you know is in disobedience to what the Lord wants you to do? What have you done in the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years where you know that you entered something in disobedience? What do people enter into? Well, people enter into business deals sometimes in disobedience. Sometimes people enter relationships in disobedience. Sometimes people enter different arrangements or relationships with people that aren't necessarily evil, but God says, I don't want you to go there. And we know that. But we do it anyway. Let me tell you something. You know that you are violating the will of God when you violate the Word of God. That's not just a play on words, it's the truth. You know you are violating the will of God if you and I are doing something that violates the Word of God. Why? Because His will is His Word. And His Word is His will. If I do something in direct violation of something in Scripture, I think I'm violating the will of God for my life.
Well, there's more I want you to hear out of this chapter 42 of Jeremiah tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
Years ago in Tennessee, there was an election for governor where one of the candidates, I don't think he won, the man's name was Jake Butcher. Can you imagine voting for Butcher for governor? It just doesn't sound right. It's not too sellable to me to have your last name be Butcher. But Jake Butcher was running for governor. Bob Benson, a writer, said he was driving through Nashville, came up at a stoplight behind a car, and the car in front of him had 3 bumper stickers. I'm not a bumper sticker kind of guy. I just don't do that. I don't know if you do, but I think they can reveal something about a person. I think my favorite is a woman had on her car, and I saw this in Atlanta, "All men are idiots, and my husband is their king." So I don't know what the, I just thought that was pretty bold. "All men are idiots, and my ex-husband is their king." I think that's what it said. She was making a statement. Bob Benson comes up on this car, 3 bumper stickers. The left bumper sticker said, "Jake Butcher for governor." The right bumper sticker said, "Jesus is Lord." The middle bumper sticker said, "Sailors have more fun." Sailors have more fun. And it was incongruous. It didn't make sense why 3 different statements about the man's life. Jake for governor, Jesus is Lord, and sailors have more fun. Here's my question. If you were to put a bumper sticker on your car today that would reflect what you are spiritually, what you are as a man, what you are as a woman, what would your bumper sticker say? Somebody who prays to the Lord but has no intention of following what He says. Someone who believes that prayer is not seeking the will of God, but just to confirm my will. It could be said of all of us. It could be said of all of us. One of my favorite stories that I've used about prayer is a story about a medical study that was done in England years ago about the waking episodes of mothers of newborn babies. And what they did at this maternity hospital in England was to study mothers who had a waking episode by hearing the cry of their baby. And what they determined, this was fascinating to me years ago, that most of the waking episodes were the result within 3 or 4 hours of giving birth, the mothers woke up to the cry of their own baby. They knew, that's not my baby that's crying now. Oh, that's my baby. Within 3 or 4 hours of giving birth, they were able to recognize the cry of their own babies. You say, where are you going with this? When you pray to the Lord, do you realize He recognizes your cry? Why would you say the mother of a newborn baby can recognize the cry of her baby and then say, but God doesn't hear me when I cry out to Him? He does. And I'm amazed at people who talk about modern technology with iPhones and texting and all the technical stuff we have, GPS, and we can communicate around the world and make a local phone call and talk to somebody in another country, and then we turn around and say, how could God hear my prayer? We attribute to man the things that belong to God, and we take away from God that which is due Him. You ever notice that? We attribute to man the capability. We can communicate around the world through with satellites, and yet, how can God hear me?
Well, if you're honest, and if I'm honest, we've all had thoughts like that. How can God be aware of us? The Bible says in Psalms, what is man that thou art mindful of him, in the King James Version? In other words, what's God got to do with me? And yet, the shepherd knows the sheep. He knows you and He knows me. We're going to continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Listen tomorrow to this message as it continues.
I love Psalm 23. I read it at every funeral, and I will continue to read it at every funeral. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You say, what are you talking about that for? For this simple reason. H.W. McLaughlin tells about visiting Israel and speaking to an old shepherd. Thinking of Psalm 23, McLaughlin asked the shepherd how he used the staff to comfort and guide the sheep. Never knew this. The elderly man said that in the daylight, he always carried the staff across his shoulders so the sheep could see it. Somehow, this reassured them of his presence and protection. He further explained that if darkness overtook him before he had brought the sheep to a safe resting place at night, or if they were caught in a heavy fog so that the sheep could not see the staff, listen to this, he would walk slowly while tapping on the ground with his staff. Although the sheep could not see the staff, they could hear its tapping and would follow the direction of the sound, knowing that their shepherd was just ahead of them. What an illustration about prayer. There are times in your life when you're walking through the fog of a thing called your life, the fog of grief, the fog of a relationship that's gone south, the fog of illness, the fog of financial tragedy or collapse, and you say, I can't even see what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone next year. I don't know what's going to happen in the next hour, let alone next week. And the shepherd is beating the staff on the ground. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's there listening. 1 John 5:14 says that we have confidence that whatever we ask, according to God's will, He hears. Now, what's important about that is this. It doesn't say whatever I ask, He just automatically dispenses an answer. He hears. I want to know that God hears me, and so do you. I want to know that the God who created this universe hears me, and according to 1 John 5:14, He does. Charles Lowry said, most men want to be close to a woman. They want to be real close to a woman who leaves them alone. That may be true, but don't ever let it be said of you that you want a God in your life that you're close to who leaves you alone. Because let me tell you why. God said, I'll never leave you. I'm going to tell you right now, you've got a God who said, I will never leave you. Even unto the end of the age, Jesus said, I will always be with you. You say, that's a curse. No, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to know the God who made you is the God who loves you, is the God who sent his son to die for you so your sins and my sins could be forgiven. They're under the blood of Christ. And that's the one who says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will always be with you. Don't pray if you have no intention of following the leadership of the Lord. It's an insult to the Lord to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And then when the word comes from the Lord, you say, not going to do it. Can you imagine the insult that is to your Creator? To defy Him over and over. And some times in life, we've all done that. We've defied the Lord. Jeremiah, if it's a book about anything, is this. It's a book about repentance. It's a book about our need to change. And it's to change our hearts for this reason. Jeremiah tells us that the people followed the stubborn inclinations of their own heart. Now, that's a fancy way of saying they snubbed their nose at God and said, we'll do what we want. Thank you. Don't ever let that be said of you. But you were a man or woman who said, Lord, I'm asking for leadership. I'm asking for direction. And you know what? When you give me the word, I'll follow. I will follow.
Well, my prayer for you and for me is that we will follow the God who loves us more than we love ourselves. His name is Jesus. God bless you.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.